Yes.
By March, economic development work session.
New protocol. These microphones will now be in the recording device as opposed to using the mic on the device itself. So hopefully if you have something to add to the conversation, you'll speak loudly enough for the microphones to pick you up.
Or come to the microphone.
Or
we'll be shut up.
We're on.
Okay, good morning, commissioners. Today, March 5th, we are having a work session with the commissioners on the economic development issues that the board have directed us to commence on. And today we are going to walk the board through the what is our work session goals today. What we heard from the last work session with the commissioners, and then follow that up with some discussions of the work we've done to date and what our ask is for from the board. Let me first begin with the work session goals for today. First, there are five work session goals. I will start with the first one. What we would like to do today is to show the type of economic activity currently occurring in the St. John's Babington FBI area. Two, to present the county commissioners with the action framework for economic growth in the St. John's Babington area. The goal there is to remain focused with our partners to take advantage of what we can do together. The third goal today is to reinforce what is county role and why is that important. The fourth is also to show the commissioners the 2024 milestones in the action framework plan so we can see how well we are doing. And finally, highlight major county projects that are important to the framework. At the last work session, we looked at the focus public investment areas identified in the county. The board approved staff focusing on two areas that are in the unincorporated portion of the county, the St. John's Babington area, and then the Discovery Corridor. In the St. John's Focus Public Investment area, it is an area that is a manufacturing base with a good transportation asset in terms of road and our railroad asset as well. It's an area that provides opportunity to create both middle skill and middle income jobs. We know that most of the infrastructure currently in place, there are current projects and approved or there are current interest and approved projects in the area, and I think the board have seen the list that our community development, Mari in particular, put together. The second area is the Discovery Corridor. The board is aware that the Discovery Corridor is a large area. It stretches from 134th on the south to near the new 219 interchange. Because it's a huge area, staff subdivided the Discovery Corridor into a small manageable area or into sub-areas, and the board asked us to focus on sub-area 2, which may be characterized as the heart of the Discovery area at the at the 179th interchange. This is an area that provide opportunity for office as well as commercial activity, and an area that has potential for institutional, biotech, and office campus type of uses. We believe that with the university and the legacy hospital in the vicinity of the area, that it is an area that has potential for knowledge-based workers of middle to high income opportunity. The area has good access to airport, highway, and the port of Vancouver, as well as Richfield. We believe also that it's an area that has high cost to serve in terms of infrastructure and will take longer time frame for development. Following the work session, the board asked us to really think about or come to rationale as to why we picked sub-area 2 and explain why that is significant, because some of the land use in sub-area 2 is predominantly commercial. So we have try to explain to the board that there are, within subsection 2, there are some areas within that sub-area that is also planned for office and industrial use. However, some of the uses that you see in commercial has potential to develop with Class A office and other type of uses that has potential to create high wage jobs or create more jobs. And that have been completed. You also asked us to look at site readiness study or site readiness following up the work that EDC have already looked at and what additional analysis needs to occur. That is already done, and I believe staff will be discussing that in details with board at a later time. We believe that doing the site readiness study provides opportunity for pre-site plan approval and provides certainty, so staff is going to be discussing that again in details with you. Today, what we are going to do is focus on the action framework for the St. John's sub-area plan, and I will turn it over to Jeff.
All right. Good morning, commissioners. So we'll begin with a profile of activity already occurring in the St. John's Barberton area. Our planning efforts support and reinforce activity that's already underway. We believe this is an area of potential and can be supported by county investment in infrastructure, planning, and permitting. Some examples of public capital investment currently underway include the Northeast 78th Street, Northeast 47th Avenue intersection improvements, which are slated to go to construction later this year and into next year, early next year. Construction on the Northeast 47th Avenue is scheduled for 2014 to connect Northeast 68th Street to Northeast 78th Street. That's a core north-south road in that industrial area. Construction on Northeast 88th Street is some additional work is scheduled for 2015. We've recently explored construction options to extend Northeast 40th Avenue south from St. John's Road to connect it to Northeast 63rd Street. There's an adopted circulation plan for Northeast 88th Street, a subarea up near Andreessen. And there's a sewer pump station scheduled to be constructed in the area of Northeast 88th Street west of the railroad in 2014. Investments in railroad rehabilitation and maintenance on our county-owned railroad have permitted existing businesses served by the railroad to continue to grow and expand, reaching customers and markets they wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. annual carload volumes on the railroad have been consistently increasing year over year, increasing tenfold since 2004. Volumes on the railroad have well surpassed pre-recession levels as the county and state have continued to invest in the railroad's preservation, attracting new customers to the railroad, and increasing adjacent industrial real estate use and expansion. Not what I wanted to do there. There we go. So if there's already activity, why should the county look into investments in this area? What is the county's role? Our role is to make public investment, provide predictability in permitting, perform advanced planning, and leverage our activities with the skills and abilities of our partners, being flexible and responsive to market mechanisms, such that the land and infrastructure necessary for economic development are consistently generated and available in our regional market. As a result, we will increase opportunity for the economic well-being of our citizens, helping to foster an economic development environment that respects diversity of skill levels and desires of our citizens, enabling opportunity for increasing skill levels in the workforce and mobility to higher levels of personal income. It's important that we recognize and respect that individuals have needs for different opportunities. Diversity of opportunity is critical across all labor demographics and employment geographies. We recognize that as local government, we're not market makers. At the same time, local economic development is affected by intervening factors such as state and federal regulatory paradigms, which generate uncertainty in the process of private capital investment. Our role is to help look for the path to yes in our interaction with citizens, partners, and the economic community. An important way in which we do this is to erase the boundaries between communities and topical disciplines, engaging in cooperative, holistic, and informed approaches to economic development. I'll turn it over to Marlia.
So last time we were here, we talked about the variety of things that the county can do within its own role to try to promote growth and economic development in this Barberton-St. John's area. And so we said we'll come back to you with what we called an action framework. It's an action plan where we try to define who, what, when, where, how should we act as a county government in this particular area to make meaningful progress for both the short and the long term. Something we talked about last time a lot was these things do not happen quickly. It is a long-term, committed, focused kind of an approach. What we're going to show you is some things that may initially look to you like, oh gosh, more planning. What do we need more planning for? It's different because it's planning with an economic purpose, and it's really closer to implementation than it is to planning. What we're really trying to do is look at the constraints, like our man here with his hands tied behind his back, to look at the constraints in this area and say, within our role, how can we try to reduce some of those constraints and leverage the work that we do and increase our coordination? We want to find our ways past those constraints. I kind of think of it like a chain link fence. And there's sometimes many, many ways to get through that fence that take patterns that we aren't always expecting. What we did as staff and as your planning group, and the majority of the planning group is here in the room, so we don't want you to think that it was just the three of us by ourselves, because that was not the case. We went and we identified what we call swim lanes, and you have this little brown diagram at your place. We actually looked at 12 different areas of action that are potential for us. And what we do is we put them side by side to examine how they work together and how they work individually and how we might phase activities in each one of these swim lanes to get to some positive results more quickly. Well, quick isn't quick in this. You know, we're talking a year out at our very best case. The things that you see on this sheet really depend a lot on staff, and they depend on our partners. The fewer partners we have, the longer it takes to accomplish the work that you see. So if you, and I'm just going to walk you through some of these swim lanes so you have an idea of how this actually works. What you see here is on a quarterly basis in 2014, we laid out various activities. So if you go across the top, you'll see 2014 by quarter, and then the first two quarters of 2015. I guess I did do six-month periods in 2015. And then in 2016, it's by year. Then if you work across the chart, you see the different areas that we know we need to work in and coordinate in. We actually have 12 swim lanes. We're showing you today county road, traffic flow plans, sub-area plans, site readiness, relationship with the Port of Vancouver and their partnership, and some outreach to owners. The other swim lanes that you're not seeing relate to site certification, wastewater and stormwater, some supporting analysis we know we need to do to really defend these activities, rail programs, and sub-area plans. So, for example, if you work across in the top swim lane that talks about county roads, you see one of the things that we've already done is developed a list of potential road improvements that we think needs to take place. But we don't necessarily have costs for those because they're not in our TIP. They're not things that we would have costs for. So one of the activities that we would like to do is use an existing service agreement that we have with a firm that does this kind of road construction analysis to develop some costs for these roads. Once we have those, if you look at the fourth quarter of 2014, that's how long we think it might take, we can start to use those cost estimates and start analyzing funding options. We can actually start working in funding options in the second quarter and then get some concepts together, queue that up with the actual cost of these roads, and then develop a funding strategy, and probably come back to you at the beginning of 2015 with an idea that we'll say, here's how much it's going to cost, and here are some options. What do you think about it? It does us no good to just develop a funding strategy if we don't know how much the roads cost. It does us no good to just develop a list of costs if we don't have any ideas how we might fund it. So you kind of see how that fits together. One of the other things that we do quite often is traffic flow plans. These are like circulation plans. So we can go into the sub-areas we've defined in St. John's Barberton and develop those circulation plans, which creates greater certainty for us so we know we've identified the right projects, and also greater certainty for the private sector so they know what we're going to be expecting. Those circulation plans can only be adopted at a certain time of the year that corresponds with the comprehensive planning cycle. So you have to queue those things up, knowing that if we even want one of them done this year, we have to go back to Oliver and get some time from his staff to do them. The sub-area planning in that next swim lane, one of the things we've really been giving a lot of conversation to is how can we look at our planning processes, our site plan reviews, our expedited 60 and 90-day processes, our CEPA processes, and develop something where we can help projects get from concept to maybe site certification. And how do we do that with our existing planning processes? Do we need to make code amendments? Do we need to work with Marty's group and have changes in their processes? This takes quite a bit of time, and you can see that if we start something in the second quarter of this year, we know that we won't be able to get anything conceptualized for several quarters, and then we can actually go into some master planning processes and actually help some of these sites. the site readiness, I'm not going to go into a lot of discussion on that, but if we start site readiness in the second quarter of this year, you'll probably see site readiness ready by the beginning of 2015. And that ties into, it ties into the marketing for the sites themselves, but it also ties into some things that we want to do with a partnership with the Port of Vancouver, where we would like to discuss with them, using them as a site aggregation agency. Well, you can't do that unless you know which sites are ready and what you might want to aggregate. So you can see how those two swim lanes relate to one another. So that's just an example of the kind of work that we are doing to try to figure out what do we need to do first so we can build the interactions. And I also want to point out, we were trying to show here that even though these things take a while, there are definable milestones that you as a board can start to turn around and ask us about. We'll have you engaged in conversations with these people or that people, and so that's why we lay it out the way that we did. Now I'm going to turn it back to Jeff, because what Jeff's going to do is take three of the projects that you see on this action framework and dig a little bit more deeply into them so you have a better understanding of why we think these are important.
Thank you. So drilling down on these three projects in the action framework, the reason why we want to do this is so you have a perspective on the kind of work we want to undertake, what unique needs each project addresses, as well as how each of the projects interacts in interdependent ways to address needs and constraints. The three projects I'd like to focus on are the estimates of county road projects and the costs and conceptual engineering, site readiness study, and the development of a memorandum of understanding with the Port of Vancouver. The interdependency aspect of these projects is not a trivial matter to consider, as you'll see. The three projects cut across transportation and land use planning disciplines, as well as simple business economics involved in industrial land development. Each plays an important role in generating information necessary for various stakeholders to make decisions. In the triadic relation among these three projects, key stakeholders include the county and its citizens, the port and its constituents, and the development community. Each has decidedly different informational needs associated with its respective decision-making role. However, each stakeholder partner's role is critical for development to occur at all. The swim lane associated with county roads involves identification of roadway projects in the focus public investment area that are necessary to provide transportation access to employment lands. These projects have been preliminarily identified. However, as further site-specific research is conducted, other projects may emerge, or the degree of priority associated with a particular project may change. We do want to be responsive to new information, after all. The next step is to execute a task order with one of Public Works' on-call consultants, such as Kittleson or DKS, to perform conceptual engineering geared towards developing a more reliable estimate of cost. This information will inform public planning and project prioritization processes. Additionally, this swim lane calls for evaluation and development of funding strategies and options that we can bring to the board for consideration to expedite the financing of economic development-related road projects. Previously, we discussed the site readiness study project in some detail. This project generates necessary information that tells a compelling story about industrial development and potential in the St. John's Barberton area and identifies key constraints that the county can act on. This information is crucial to reducing uncertainty related to development and helps engage the Port of Vancouver and the development community in addressing the constraints and spurring economic activity. The study fills multiple purposes, not the least of which is marketing areas of the county for economic development. On the point of uncertainty, earlier this week, staff held a meeting with representatives of the industrial and commercial real estate development community and the CREDC. That morning, we had also attended and participated in the CREDC's public partners meeting. What we are hearing is that development inquiries are increasing, with emphasis on land available for purchase and development now, or within much shorter time frames than in the recent past. The site readiness project helps us answer key questions like, what land is available? How is it constrained? What is the cost to alleviate the constraints? How long will it take? And will it be economically viable relative to market price levels, accounting for these required investments to alleviate the constraints? What we may find is that while in aggregate there may be sufficient gross industrial acreage to support employment growth, we lack specific sites that are economically viable for various or combinations of reasons. This can help inform our ongoing comprehensive plan update, constructing a strong basis for future policy action. The third swim lane I'd like to elaborate on concerns partnership with the Port of Vancouver for development in the St. John's Barberton area. This is a crucial aspect of the development process because in many cases, an intervener is needed to purchase land, aggregate parcelized areas into sites suitable for industrial development, and market these sites to potential users. Significant data is needed to understand the economic factors in deciding which sites are suitable and over what time frame our port partner would be expected to carry the sites from a financial standpoint. The site readiness study helps generate that information. Understanding how the county plans to invest in the infrastructure under its control is also crucial to the port-county partnership. Given this and how a site readiness study informs this partnership, this swim lane relies on the previous two projects to support development of a memorandum of understanding and formal partnership with the Port of Vancouver. So we return to this issue of interconnectedness or interdependency. A couple of illustrative examples include county expenditures on roadway infrastructure versus the relative return to taxpayers associated with the investment. Economic output modeling associated with the site readiness project helps us understand this better. How many jobs are connected to a particular road project, for instance? So the outcome from this would be prioritized strategic expenditure of road fund and other resources relative to our economic development goals. Another example concerns the estimated returns associated with land aggregation and development in the St. John's Barberton area, primarily the analysis of constraints and associated costs. The outcome from this being that the Port of Vancouver has the necessary information to make decisions regarding investment, such as understanding economic factors, site viability relative to the market, and expectations regarding investments to be made in public infrastructure by partner agencies. The action framework approach helps to flesh out many of these interdependency issues in economic development, enabling partnerships that make progress on this important effort, whereas in the past these interdependencies may have acted as stumbling blocks, as silos and jurisdictional boundaries stymied cooperation.
So, Commissioners, that brings us to our asks this morning. There are very few. As we indicated, our goal is to remain focused. I think the board have given us direction to focus on the two areas we discussed this morning. With that, we want to do so by engaging our partners in the best way that we can to take advantage of what we can do together. So our ask is to for the board to approve the action plan for the St. John's Barberton area and give staff permission to proceed as outlined in our swim lane, these projects. And also we want to start working on a similar action framework for the Discovery Corridor sub-area. Our goal is to, in May, come back with some result and share that with the commissioners sometime in September. So those are the two asks that we want the board to approve.
All You're talking about the St. John Barberton area. Are you talking about working with our road department to see if we're going to cut through or when we're going to cut through the roads we've been talking about for so long?
That's correct. As Malia went through the action framework plan, she identified what we may accomplish by quarter from now until at least the first, the second quarter, the third and fourth quarter of this year, way into 2015. And if the board can approve that, then we as staff can go to work. There are issues or projects on county road, what needs to occur on sub-area planning, on site readiness. So as Malia outlined in the swim lane, this is the one for the St. John's Barberton area. So we want the board to approve the action framework plan so that we can begin the necessary staff, engaging our partners and other players to get the work on track and focused.
Follow up here. When you speak of the readiness, you're talking about having that infrastructure in place, such as access and egress. And many of those that we have, I noticed on the map here, are probably things already on a time frame with our development community, and we would have to check with Steve and Heath to see if we're going to reprioritize projects.
That is exactly what we will do. We will go back and talk with Steve and Heath. We will confirm the list of projects again. Then we'll hire someone to, through this agreement that they already have, to actually get prices for those kinds of roads. And then we'll start to look at how can we finance these? Is it a matter of placing a different priority on the TIP? Is it a matter of finding new funding sources? Is it a matter of working with the private sector? Is it a matter of doing an LID? We don't know at this point because we don't have an order of magnitude for what we're working on. But through our EDAT team, we have the right people in the room to figure some of those things out. We'll start to look at financing, and we'll get Mark Gassaway involved and John Payne involved, and we'll build a team to look at it.
Projects I'm familiar with that we're going to be working on. Barberton area, of which our staff has a good start on, and we already have probably a cost analysis for that portion of it.
Have costs for some, but not all.
Right.
What I'm concerned with is going out and hiring additional consultants without going to see what we have already developed, and if we have to, or if we see a need to hire a consultant. Because all of our staff already goes out when they look at a road, they have the estimate cost of building the construction of that road, probably before it goes to an RFP.
I'll ask Heath and Steve to kind of answer that question.
We were talking about the area around 78th Street, 40th Avenue, connecting down to 63rd in that area. We actually have current projects right now, 47th Avenue from 78th Street down to 68th, which is in the design process, and we're actually going to bid on that project this year. And so that's one where we're actually building basically a core road through there that will have basically most of the street improvements done, and then as development comes in, they'll be able to do what they need to do on their side of the road. And then we're also right behind that, we just recently switched the timing of these, but we're going to redo the intersection at 78th and 47th Avenue, which is a very complicated intersection. We have two railroad crossings and principal arterial in the operations center, but all that work is currently in progress, and we have pretty good estimates on those projects.
And I might add that over to the west on 40th Avenue, there's two missing links in that road right now. We've talked 2 or 3 years ago about the R.A. Jones property acquisition. We have good costing on that, and then there's a missing link to the north. There's about a 12-foot grade differential. We'd have to build a ramp 40th Avenue. And then if we were to cul-de-sac 40th Avenue south of the railroad, there's a cost in that cul-de-sac. So county staff has some cost information, but there's other elements of this area that we have not costed yet. We don't have conceptual engineering approaches nor costs. And those are the sorts of areas where the consultant could work.
What is the cross street on 40th again? It's not on our map here.
Well, the 12-foot elevation difference is to the north of 68th Street. So it's between 68th Street and St. John's on 40th Avenue. And it's just a missing link. And the other one through the R.A. Jones property is to the south of 68th Street before you get down to Minnehaha.
And the economic value of that is on the 78th Street portion of it?
Where the value of these improvements comes is that it's getting harder and harder to get on and off of St. John's Road. There's just four lanes. There's no left turn pockets. It's hard to turn left on and left off. So traffic within that area really can't get out onto St. John's the way it needs to for it to be viable. So these connecting roads we're talking about would allow traffic to move within the area to get out to a signal.
Speaking of 40th Avenue.
Correct.
If I can throw something in here too, put on my choo-choo hat for a minute.
That's where I'm...
Closing the grade crossing at 40th Avenue would also increase capacity in that adjacent Rye Railroad industrial yard complex.
Trying to find where 40th Avenue crosses St. John's, because I don't have it on my map.
It's really small on the map, but it's so this would be 40th Avenue right here.
Oh, right here.
Line, yeah. And the end of it is where the grade elevation is.
Oh, okay. I was picturing clear on 78th and a different 40th.
Just to define what is a plan, I think what we're trying to deduce here is what does the before and after map look like? Because that, to me, is a graphical representation of a plan in contrast to the plan that we're asking to approve this morning. It really has to do with a research plan. It's the discovery process moving forward. So I want to make sure we have both of those. I feel like we're a little bit blind that we don't really actually have a map that we can understand of what this area would look like, what's physically proposed out there.
And we can't do that for you until we do some of this work to come back with you and say, here are the sites we think are most ready. Here are the road improvements we think will support those most effectively. Here are the property owners that we think are more interested in doing something short, medium, or long term. We can't give you that yet until we do this kind of work.
So the plan is really a bigger picture that says let's research, let's brainstorm, let's do all of, pull the insight together in order for us to arrive at a physical plan and financial plan. And okay, so that's what you're asking for. Is there a dollar value associated with this? Are there budget implications?
Each project has different costs associated with it. Most of the work will be done internally. The road costing projects we're talking about is on existing contracts with on-call consultants.
I don't have to ask for anything extra. We already got the team here to be able to do that. I like the sound of that.
Exception one, which is site readiness.
What's involved with that? Is there a dollar value? Is that translated into a consultant? What are we looking at?
Well, with tremendous site work, with tremendous staff work on identifying sites and doing economic output modeling, we would bring in a consultant to do other analyses associated with the site, the environmental constraints, wetland areas, and so the cost ends up being about $10,000 per site.
sites are there?
We'd like to do about 7 sites, 4 in the St. John's Barberton area and 3 in the Discovery Corridor around 179th.
That consultant, when do we engage them? Is it when we get a little further along and really identify what those sites are?
We would work up a scope and determine what the county can contribute towards that scope.
What I'm thinking is that that's a little further down the road than we are now. That, right?
Oh, it's now. In order to do the site readiness study, we need to engage the professionals that we want to engage. We need to do that now. We can do a lot of the staff work to help support that and decrease the cost, but we need them now so we do the right things, so when the handoff occurs, we've prepared the right material in the way that they need it. So it's not a cost that would come in third or fourth quarter of this year. It would come in now. And we do want to kind of walk you through that in board time today again, so you have a better feel for some of the contractual parts.
Or specifics to come on that.
Yes, okay. This afternoon, if we're fortunate. And we're not trying to dodge. That isn't what we're trying to do here. Yes, we do expect we will need a consultant. Yes, we will need it soon. The total project cost is approximately $70,000. But we would like to discuss with you in more detail how we can pay for part of that and what the relationships would be between all of the partners in that project, which is a little bit more than the 7 minutes we have remaining on this. But if you want to extend over, we can do that right now, too.
I'm going to go back. Steve, we've done a lot of work in this area already. And Jeff, you were part of that because we were talking about the closure of one of those roads and driving as a new road south into Minnehaha. Now, we've done that, haven't we? In fact, I thought we actually gave the go-ahead to do that.
What we're wanting to do now is there was an estimate prepared for 40th some time ago, so it needs to be refreshed. And, of course, you know, putting on the choo-choo hat again, I've come in and said, gosh, I'd really like to have that grade crossing closed so that we could increase the rail yard capacity. So we've got a little bit of a different scope going on than what was worked up before.
I thought we had addressed that already and agreed to do the closure after we got the other roads cut through.
I think that's how it needs to be phased,
a lot
obviously.
To do with make a product, accessibility, increase the size of his yard, and so on.
But, Commissioner, what we've done over on 47th Avenue, we're moving ahead right now with those two projects. The signal up at 47th and 78th is critically needed. Those northbound trucks can't turn left out and go to the west. In fact, our operations complex, it's even hard to get out of that and turn left to go east. So we're improving that intersection either this year or next year. It's funded. It's near term. And then the road to the south, all the way down through the barricade down to 63rd, that's going to be approved. And that is funded. It's ready to go. Those are the two projects we're moving ahead right now, and those are near construction. Now, to the west on 40th Avenue, we've studied those two missing links, but it's not programmed for improvement anytime soon. That would be the next two we'd do. And then there's some east-west links we'd like to do up there in that same area, too. So we're doing it piecemeal, but we are moving on it.
My picture of being site readiness is something after we put the road infrastructure in place, and then we go back and look at what land is available for the site readiness to put on a brochure or something to sell to a would-be person who would come in there.
Roads are just one aspect of that. And of course, having the site readiness study done allows us to go in and see what the feasibility is associated with, you know, contour changes in the site and leveling things out. Perhaps there are wetland constraints on certain sites. So, you know, we don't necessarily want to spend a lot of money building roads to sites that are not economically viable.
We already recognized the need to put that connector road through because there's only one access road in and out of there. And I think that's just plan B of what we already plan on doing. I just get concerned when we spend that kind of money on a consultant. And my understanding, and I think you've showed me one before, you put together a economic plan that shows available land and the constraints on each piece of property.
Right.
Not sure at what point we would do that because we're not going to just put together a brochure for one or two sites.
Right. We want to put information together for several sites. And so there's a lot of work that goes into just so we would identify the areas where the sites may be, but there are parcelization constraints, for example. An acre owned by somebody here, two there, three there. So to put those together in a site that's viable for industrial development involves contact and outreach with the property owners, then looking at environmental constraints, looking at the roadway constraints and how much those cost, looking at the investment in the rail that's necessary in that area. So, you know, 40th is just one roadway through that area that needs to be looked at. 43rd is another. And then trying to connect something east-west through there to open up additional transportation access to the industrially zoned land there is part of what the site readiness does. So ideally, you would do site readiness and the work on conceptual engineering and costing on the roadways concurrently so that at the end of it, you would come out, have the information you need so that you can either identify other revenue sources to do the road work or reprioritize or however that's going to work out.
Yeah. Around it right now. So.
Well, so the other important thing, and I talked about interdependency, is you have the port as a partner, which would be willing to make investments in real estate in that area, and purchasing and aggregating the land and preparing the site for industrial users. That's their role, but they're not going to do it without some understanding of what the constraints in the area are and what roadways need to be built and when they could be built, so that if they were to go out and buy the land today, how long would they be expected to carry it while these constraints are resolved, such that, you know, the market price might be here and the cost to get the land ready might be here. Well, then it's not economically viable. You can project out how long will it take for those things to equilibrate, and then that gives them information they need to make decisions on that partnership. Or we go, you know, these sites just, their dogs are not going to work, you know, based on the analysis. So we need to look outside of traditional areas where we've looked for industrial development.
Bring back more information at board time today. Good.
And commissioners, I just might add one thing. When we did the concurrency and capital facilities plan work session about 3 or 4 weeks ago, you remember the big table we worked through? Toward the bottom, there was a line item for the 20-year funding. It was an ongoing program funded annually. It was called Economic Development Infrastructure or something like that. So we have a placeholder in that 20-year CFP for money for just these sorts of roads.
What is the source of fund for this consultant? Is it our general fund or the road fund?
It would be road fund.
I'm curious. I expect there's a very short list of property owners.
Have about 1 minute to be curious.
How tuned in are they with what we are potentially putting in the works here? How supportive are they to be cooperative?
That's part of the work that would be associated with site readiness. And
I know that they're going to be very much engaged, and part of this reaches out to them. I just wonder, before we start this, as I expect this short list, that up front, them being tuned in to even know where we're considering developing, helping partner to develop their land, are they tuned in at all? Are there some that are in, some aren't?
We haven't done that much outreach to the specific property owners. We've talked to the development community to get a feel for, okay, sites in this area, why aren't they turning? Why isn't development occurring? And learning what's going on in the market, what some of the constraints are. But reaching out to the specific site owners will occur once we identify how can you put together a 20-acre site with these 8 or 10 different owners and aggregate them. So then you go out and talk to those folks and see, are you willing to sell? What is kind of your price threshold? That's all part of site readiness, qualifying those sites for further analysis.
I assume that you know what sequence to go, how important it is up front to be able to make some assumptions. You have some cooperative people that like the potential direction of the development. The Port of Vancouver, I like that they're on the list and they've got a track record of aggregating lands and building the infrastructure to do that. Do they have access to grants that we don't in order to help to develop some of this infrastructure?
Commissioner Mielke said was they have taxing authority, and so that's a revenue stream that they have access to that we do not. In the St. John's Barberton area in particular, there may be some brownfield grants that we could apply for. There are a couple of brownfield sites in the area.
They can apply for them as well as we can. They don't have access to funds we don't have.
Right. They could apply for those funds. We could apply for those funds. We can do it jointly.
I agree with Jeff's comment. That's what I wanted to add, but he covered it. Yes, they operate differently. They have a taxing authority that we don't. And there may be some brownfields in the St. John's Barberton area that we can jointly apply for in terms of cleanup and other remedial work that needs to be done. So there's opportunity there.
More detail at board time.
In other words, the ask really is going to be answered at board time? Is that what we're saying?
No.
No.
You want an answer now?
We want an answer now. I think the conversation at the board time is more detailed on the site readiness discussion that staff will have with the board at the board time. Our ask is to proceed with the action framework plan for the St. John's Barberton area. And the second ask is that we also simultaneously continue similar work in the Discovery Corridor, focusing on Section 2, which is the heart of the Discovery area, really at the interchange of 179, and do similar action plan that gets us also focused in that FPIA area. So those are the two asks that we have before.
Explain where I am and what I understand, what I don't. We have a lot of work to do in preparation and acquiring more knowledge. We have more work to do is looking at another partner, being the Port of Vancouver. And so I encourage the idea of moving forward and also to include, to go back and look at what we have available for talent within our environmental services, what we have available for estimating road construction before we hire the consultant.
We'll do that, Commissioner. We, as Malia indicated, all the partners are here. We're having conversation, and including our environmental services staff, they're on our team. Public work is on our team. We have Clark Regional Wastewater also on our team. So we are making progress. We're just saying, can we move forward with the action framework plan and continue to inform the board, additional work session, providing you milestones and deliverables that the board will see that we are making progress on. That's all we're asking for.
What you're saying is that green light on this, we'd like to be able to hold off on the consultant until you share more specifics on that. Is that a fair enough deal? Is that a good enough green light for you guys so far?
We're talking about the consultant on site readiness or the consultant on road projects?
Site readiness, right.
We'll give you more details.
Other consultant involved?
Yes, and
on the road project,
and we'll do exactly what Commissioner Mielke is asking.
Okay,
but we'll leverage
so
internal.
Hold back
resources.
On the consultants. So we learn a little bit more about it? Green light on the master plan, right?
And just comment from the roads perspective. I think it'll be a balance of internal and external. I think given that we're moving forward, we've got so much design work going on existing projects that it may be just as easy to have some. We've worked with some consultants in the past to give us some broad brush cost estimates on roadways. I don't think it'll be too expensive
What we've got here is an enthusiastic team, and we've got some momentum. We do not want to lose the momentum that we've achieved thus far.
Tips me over the top, green light.
On the same side of that, I don't want to do so much work out front that it becomes old by the time we implement it.
Yeah. That before.
Thank you, Commissioners.